You know, in our study of Philippians, I think we've come to a place where we have to ask a question that I think every Christian needs to ask in their life. And it becomes very critical, and I'm going to ask it in an either-or question. The first half of the question, do I continue to live inactively for Christ, hoping eventually that I will mature in Christ, meaning that you not much effort? Or do I actively pursue a relationship with Christ? And by that, I mean to learn more about Him, where I maintain a personal time of reading and prayer and maybe journaling or meditating, talking with Him, confiding in Christ, confessing, laughing sometimes, crying other times, cultivating that relationship with God and maintaining an attitude of surrender. You know, in my own life, I can remember as a high schooler, my parents switched churches to a church that's really a sister church of ours now. And I remember going, and I thought they were going to put me in the youth group. And I didn't want to be in the youth group because I think I was probably a late junior or senior. And they put me in the college and career, which I very much appreciated at the time. And I went in there and they talked to me and I told them, look, I believe in God. And I really felt like I was a pretty good Sunday Christian. You know what I'm saying? I was kind to people. But I wasn't actively pursuing God. Didn't even understand the concept, to be honest with you, of actively pursuing God. Having a relationship with Christ, it was passive. And I thought maybe that was enough. And I remember sitting in church and attending, and I loved the idea of being a powerful believer. I remember that the pastor was on different great Christians throughout time, and he talked about Moody and Whiteman and Spurgeon and Billy Graham, which was he was at his height at that time. And I thought, oh, I would love to be one of those kind of people. And so with that, I thought, I need to be kinder to people. I need to be nice to people. I need to say all the words that they need to hear so that I can become that kind of person. But really, in my heart, hoping somehow that those words would actually stick to me in my heart and I would find some kind of clarity in my life, because my life was not clear at all. I pursued working with that ministry, helping and assisting and taking a little bit of responsibility for part of that ministry. And reflecting back, there was no pursuit of God in my life at all. No chasing after Him, no hunting or tracking Him, no closely following God. That's what pursuit means. Chasing and hunting and tracking and closely following God. I never considered having a time alone with God. In fact, I wouldn't even know what I would have to do. And I think now, in looking back, that if I closed the door to a room and opened my Bible and prayed, it probably would have scared me to death. I would be afraid that maybe some lightning would come down through the roof and strike me dead because of my life. And I never read the verse in Hebrews that says this: but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder. He's a wage payer, is what it literally means, of those who diligently seek Him. And I want a word to add out, because that's what it means, seek Him out, or pursue Him. And I think my thought process was, well, why doesn't he pursue me? Ever been there? Why doesn't God pursue me? No, not realizing he had. And even on through my years until I came to Christ, looking back, I realized he was closely following me. He was in my mind all the time. At the point I was even an atheist, I thought more about God than I did before I was an atheist. He hunted me down for 24 years during my darkest times. He pursued me, but I didn't see it. And then came the day for me that I surrendered to him. A single day, so clear in my mind, I think I could describe that day all day long. And I entered into a mutual pursuit with God. And what I mean by that is I have relationship with God. Many of you here have a two-way relationship with God. And I pursued him, and he continued to pursue me. His Spirit came in and changed my life. And from that day on, every day, I have the Spirit in my life, creating change, sin falling away, piece by piece, piece by piece. I lost interest in people and things of the past that I thought were so, so important at the time. And I began to take in Christ more and more and more. Not being afraid of him, not being scared that I might screw up, because I knew I would. I knew I would. But I trusted in what he said when he said this in Ephesians 1:6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which, and when Paul uses which, it's a pronoun that refers back to, and it refers back to grace. So let me just put that word in. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by grace he made us accepted in the beloved, in the Father. Through Christ, through grace, I became acceptable to the Father. And you did too, if you put your faith and trust in Christ. That meant to me that I am acceptable and okay as I am. Not that I have to perform for his acceptance. He accepted me. That was incredible. Because he loved me just the way I was. You know, and most of you here have had that need to perform for acceptance. I don't know how to describe it. I remember my father couldn't for years say to me, "Steve, I love you. I am proud of you. You're a great son," until his final days when he knew he was going to die and he connected with God in a great way and he told me those very words. But no one had said that to him. His father didn't tell him that. So how could he tell me that? I remember one man years ago told me that his dad on his deathbed, he told his dad, "Look, Dad, you've been a great dad. You've been wonderful. You've supported us, and we love you, and I just want you to know that." And he said his dad kind of looked off in the distance and said, "I never knew. I never knew. My dad never said anything to me." He longed to feel that acceptance. And we long to feel that same acceptance, don't we? And we have that in Jesus Christ. God just finished saying that in the scripture that I read to you that's up on the board right now. We are acceptable to him. Now, I've discovered amazing truth. That life with Christ is not about failures or standards meeting them. It's about my pursuit of him and his pursuit of me. Doesn't that sound neat that God would chase you? And yet, when I say those words, I know in your heart of hearts you know that's true. I know that whether you're a Christian today or not a Christian, maybe you're just a seeker looking to see what God's about, or maybe you're a very strong Christian. I don't know where you are today, but you know in your heart, you hear that whisper over and over and over where God is chasing you down. Years ago, I talked with a person who said to me, "Steve, I try to be perfect. I try to be as perfect as I can. I do everything right." And I said, "Everything?" And they said, "Well," and the whole time they're telling me I'm doing everything right, his head was shaking, "No." And finally I said, "Do you do everything right?" And he said, "No, I keep messing up." He has no peace, no acceptance. His father never told him he was okay, but his father of heaven did tell him he was okay. Are you tired of looking perfect? Maybe I'm speaking to you this morning. Tired of faking it? Tired of performing and performing and deflecting and deflecting and trying to find approval in other people, even manipulating your people in words so that you get that compliment, so you can get somehow that empty hole in your heart filled with acceptance? You know, these days I can't imagine going back to a non-committal form of Christianity. It bred such misery in my life. And today, this morning, it may be a significant day for you. In today's verse in Philippians 3:12, Paul reminds us again that he's just like us. He's not perfect, but he's pursuing God and God's pursuing him. So let's look at it together. "Not that I have already attained or experienced it," is what he means, "or am already perfected, having already been completed." And when we have to ask the question, what does he mean by attained? Well, I think it's maturity in Christ. It goes back to verse 10. And this is how he describes maturity: to know him, the power of his resurrection, in the partnership of his sufferings. Now that may seem odd to you, but that's maturity in Christ, that we know him, that we're able to access the power in his life, and that we have a partnership in his sufferings, Christ's sufferings. And your idea of maturity up to this point may be completely different. Maybe that you think being a big teacher of God would be maturity. If you knew all your theology and you could teach, that would be maturity. Or maybe a great counselor, that you could come alongside someone and help in their healing. Or a leader of a church. Or maybe you're extroverted and you want to be a little more introverted. And if you could be a little more introverted and kind of close that mouth a little bit, you would feel more mature in Christ. Or maybe you're introverted and you wish you could just speak up, and if you spoke up and could talk to people, maybe you'd be a little more mature in Christ. Or maybe it's being a great parent or a great mate or a great grandfather or great grandmother. I don't know what it is, but that's not God's idea of maturity. It's not position that makes you mature. It's relationship that makes you mature. To be a mature Christian, first of all, is to know him, to experientially understand who Christ is and what the scripture says about him, and cultivating that relationship on your side of the fence with him, as opposed to being an immature Christian who only wants to know about him. Second, to know and utilize his power in our lives, an experiential understanding of his power in our life, being able to team with God to overcome evil in our life, as opposed to having a form of godliness but denying it, as Paul said to Timothy. Third, to partner, to be a participant with him in daily suffering, to allow suffering to grow us, to mature us, to help us identify with Christ in his suffering, as opposed to fending off any suffering, hiding, maybe even scorning it, which stunts our growth. I want this to sink in for a moment this morning for you. To know him, to know his power that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead, and to partner with the sufferings. So Philippians 3 says this: not that I have already attained or am already perfect, but I press on, and the word means I pursue, that I may lay hold of or seize for that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold or seized of me. Mutual pursuit. There it is in the scripture. God seizes you, you seize God. The Bible translation called The Message says it, and I thought it captured the total gist of what Paul's saying. I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I have made it, but I am well on my way, reaching out for Christ, who so wonderfully reached out for me. You know, I know this is a hard thing for a bunch of performance people like us. Everything in our life requires performance. And it's so easy to turn that motive into proving that we're acceptable to God, or that God is thrilled with our great efforts. You know what? I'm going to tell you a little secret. God really doesn't care about how good a pastor I am. He cares about what's going on in here with him. That's what he's concerned about. You know, we understand this in ourselves, and yet we'll deny it, that our own efforts end up screwing us up. Do you realize that human effort is an automatic response of our flesh to God's grace? The moment we look at grace, we somehow have to make it performance. I mean, we have a tough time understanding salvation, first of all, that he would give us a free gift and it doesn't cost us anything and there's no performance and he loves us as we are. But also the acceptance that he has for us by grace as a Christian. So let me encourage you by saying this: life in Christ is not about failures, it's about our pursuit of him and he of us. So let me make an application. I've said enough on that. Do you want to actively pursue Christ and a relationship with him in your life? And if you do, the real question today is, will you surrender to him? Will you make a decision today to stop your inactivity with God and saddle up and pursue him in a relationship as he has already been pursuing you? Let's look to God in prayer. Father, I come today. Lord, that's an amazing verse in verse 12 of Philippians 3. That we would seize Christ as Christ seizes us. That we would pursue him as you have pursued us. And in our heart, Lord, we know that's what you've done. You have talked and talked in that still, quiet voice to us over and over. And Lord, so many times we just sit idly and inactively and kind of hope and kind of just really hope that maybe we'll get mature in Christ, but we don't put in that effort. And today, Lord, I know for many here, today is the day to stop that, to stop it. And surrender. While our heads are bowed, I just want to say something. I'm going to pray a prayer, and if today's that day for you, that you want to surrender all your stuff to him and lay it before him and start an active life with Christ rather than an inactive life, just pray along with me. Lord, I come today, I surrender all. Lord, I give it all up to you because what I have has no value. I can't build myself up, Lord, because it gets screwed up. I give it to you. You build me. You make me into who you want me to be.